Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Newsmakers Podcast, sponsored by the Tippecanoe Gazette. We've got a couple great guests on the show today. Meredith McKee from the Chamber of Commerce is joining us again. Hello, Meredith.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me back.
You doing all right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Awesome. And then who's joining us today?
We are here with Phil Cox.
Phil.
One and only.
I know Phil Cox.
Yeah. Who doesn't know Phil Cox?
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
That might be good or bad.
There you go.
Well, Phil owns Royal Crest Insurance Agency in Tipp City. Well, I just wanted to get us started. I'd love to hear a little bit more about your background and what led you to open up Royal Crest.
Okay. Yeah, good question. I'm used to asking people questions. So
yes.
I get asked a question.
Or put you in the hot seat.
Phil's not used to answering questions.
That's true. So I'm from Dark County, western part of Dark County. So I grew up on a farm, was there for about the first 18 years of my life, went off to college, went to Bowling Green State University, got a degree in public relations. And then after I graduated, I worked for a company for a couple of years doing public relations work. And I traveled to almost all 48 states.
So, wow, that's amazing.
So,
what are the two you haven't gone to?
I didn't, on that particular adventure, I didn't get to Hawaii or Alaska.
Yeah, those are always the last two people never make it there.
They were afraid probably I wouldn't come back, so they didn't send me anywhere.
Have you made it there since then?
I've made it to Hawaii, but not Alaska.
Alaska.
So on my
Alaska's
way.
Hard.
Yeah.
It is. You got to intentionally go. It's not like London where you fly through there to get to Paris. You know, you've got to go to Alaska to get there.
A destination. So I did that for a couple of years, public relations work, and then decided I wanted to go back to school. During that 2 years, I wasn't home much, so I traveled almost constantly. So decided I wanted to kind of plant my feet. So I went back to, University of Dayton, spent 2 years in law school, and then put 2 years in the Graduate School of Business, and ended up getting a degree in master's in business at University of Dayton.
So, I didn't know you had a law school background.
I didn't either.
That changes the way I'm going to interact with you going forward. I'm eight times more likely to be sued by Phil.
I'm in the business to try to teach you how not to let that happen.
There you go. That's why you did it. So you know how to avoid that in the future.
Yeah, law school background was very helpful in a contract scenario. Very, very helpful.
Legalese.
Yeah. So after I graduated from University of Dayton, I decided I certainly wanted to stay in the area. So I got a job as a commercial underwriter for an insurance company in Columbus. So that's how I got into the insurance business. And basically I've been in the industry since that time in different facets of it. Underwriting, marketing. I spent a little time in the claims area, spent a little time with the actuarial people. I spent time working for a healthcare company doing contracts with hospitals and doctors as far as putting together networks that they would rent for their insurance company. And then since I had a background in property and casualty, I went back to that. So that's what led me to start the agency.
It seems like a very complicated industry with so many moving parts. I don't even know how you would be able to service everything and do it all comprehensively without losing track of some part of that.
Well, good point, Greg. I'm fortunate. I have great people that I work with in the agency. So we've kind of segmented the agency. Each person has
like specializations.
Yeah.
That's smart.
Areas that they're savvy in. So that helps a lot. Yeah. You can't keep up with everything. So
yeah, it's hard to keep track of all the different things that are happening and the changes, all the different changes that come down the pipe on everything.
Yeah. Constant changes.
Definitely.
So what does Royal Crest mean to you and how did you come up with the name?
Yeah, it's a dairy. That's what it means to Phil.
Yeah.
It's a dairy, right? You also sell milk, right? And cheese products?
We don't do it at the agency. Okay. No, we kind of gave that up.
So. I've been in there and I'm like, where can I buy eggs? Where are the eggs?
We have the chickens in the back. No, we don't sell any dairy products there, but you're right, Greg. It started out, Royal Crest Dairy was a dairy in Dayton, Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Really?
On Salem Avenue.
Yep.
The building's no longer there anymore, but it was a dairy. My father became a partner in that.
Oh, was he a part owner in that? I didn't know that.
So that's kind of how the Royal Crest name came about. When the dairy closed down, we still had farms in Dark County. So that's where I used to work when I was a kid, on one of the farms in Dark County. So that was Royal Crest Farms. And then we had a trucking company that distributed agricultural products all over the place, from Florida to Michigan, from St. Louis to the East Coast. So that was Royal Crest Distributors. So The Royal Crest name has been in the family for now going on the third generation.
Wow, that is cool.
That's amazing.
I was going through the papers at the library.
Oh, okay.
Looking through some old papers for research for Nevin Coppock, because they're getting ready to tear Nevin Coppock School down. And I was looking for some articles about the construction. And I found a couple Royal Crest dairy ads. I need to find those and send them to you.
That's so cool.
Pretty cool, though. That's awesome. I thought he was just making it up, but I found actual proof in history of that. It was really neat. Yeah. So you kept it in the family.
We kept it in the family. And it's background, people don't know. My father and Nevin, they were pretty good friends. Mm. So they used to do some business together.
That's cool.
Nevin was a farmer in the area.
Yeah, they're tearing that down. And we were looking for some contextual information about construction and how that whole thing happened. I did find the article about opening day and like the first class going in.
That's I bet so.
Yeah. So much rich history. All right. So I want to know, what sets your agency apart from others in the industry? I feel like you hear of so many insurance agencies. What do we want to know about you?
Wow. That's a good question too, Meredith. Well, certainly insurance from a distribution standpoint, it's pretty competitive. So you have to always figure out, okay, what makes us unique, or what can we do that's unique? So we're an independent agency. So when I say independent, we've got the freedom. We're actually a small business, just happen to be in the insurance business. So we kind of brand ourselves or come up with our own image. The commercials that you see on TV, I cringe when I see them.
Yeah, they're a little too cute.
Too cute, pretty flippant. Insurance really,
it shouldn't be flippant like that about talking ducks and stuff like that. It's like people are like, insuring their houses for fire. I mean, that's a serious topic.
Yeah.
And then you've got a talking, you know, emu or whatever.
Hey.
Allegedly. Sorry.
Allegedly.
No, allegedly. So, yeah, you know, that's why I kind of cringe, because it makes it kind of a flippant or a funny topic. And it's really not so funny when your house is burned down or your business has had a major claim and you're trying to work through all the things that you have to do to try to get things put back together the way they used to be.
So, it's not silly.
No, it's not silly.
Not when you have a hailstorm and you've got 50, you know, roofs to replace or something like that. That's not funny.
Being independent, though, allows us to kind of set ourselves up. We're kind of advice-based, so
You don't have a talking duck?
We don't have a talking duck. No. We have a little office dog now, but he's not talking yet. So,
Churchill? Winston? What's his name?
His name's Augie.
Augie. Yeah, he looks like Winston Churchill. He literally does.
He's part beagle and part English bulldog, so he's pretty...
Well, you have the chickens on the roof, but those aren't for mascots. That's just for the eggs.
That's just for the eggs. Yeah. You found our chicken.
Your dairy side.
Yeah. So... once you're a farm boy, you're always a
farm boy. But no, I like the idea. When you go in there, it's like serious. It's not funny and it's not flippant.
Yeah. So yes, being independent, like I said, allows us to kind of design our own business and image. So, you know, ones that you see on TV are usually, we call them in the industry, the commodity captive carriers. So if you're an agent, you're only allowed to work with that one company. You're very restricted and you work for them, basically. Mm-hmm. You're independent in the sense that they'll let you sometimes hire your own people, but they control everything that you do. And so you're pretty tied to what they want to happen. So independent lets you do whatever you want. And we do a lot of different kinds of insurance programs. So certainly personal line stuff, auto, home, and we're pretty heavy into the commercial area. So we do probably about half our business doing commercial work for manufacturers and trucking companies, and we do agribusiness farms and those kind of things. And then we do a lot of bonds too, so for contractors. So bond work's a big part of our income.
What does that mean, bond work?
Bond work is, let's say you're a contractor and you're going to do a large architectural or a plumbing contract.
Oh, okay.
So
like a completion bond.
So what they do with the bond is, the people that are go to the obligee, the people that you go to work for, they want to make sure you've got the finances and you've got the labor force behind you to complete it. Some of the bonds we do are up to 5 to 10 million. Mm. So they're going to make sure you've been checked out financially and with your workforce. So
it's like a stamp of approval.
Exactly.
And if you're going to finish the work.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you can't finish the work, there's money then available through the bond to hire somebody else to come in and do it per the contract that you bid. So
yeah, I know I've read a lot about completion bonds in relation to like Hollywood with making movies. Mm-hmm. They usually, every movie has an insurance carrier and an insurance policy, really. And a lot of it's based on like the actors and their past situations that they've been in. Some actors, it's really hard to get a completion bond on because they've got a history of drug use or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. You've done your homework.
It's like a gamble though. Like if you're going to make a movie and you don't have a completion bond, that's, you're skating on thin ice because it could all, and then you're liable for the whole cost of everything.
Wow.
If it doesn't, or if somebody goes to rehab.
That's true.
Then you got to swap it out and get a new actor. But that's interesting. Yeah. I didn't realize people did that for like projects, like project-based, like architectural. Mm-hmm. Like, so you're talking like if they're going to build a new building.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And it's a $10 million building. There's an insurance policy, not on the building itself, but the actual construction process.
Mm-hmm. If you're a developer, we do some things for developers. You got to develop tracts of land.
Huh.
And then they're going to be turned over to the city after the tract of land is developed. Those are called suburban bonds. And the city wants to make sure that you're going to stay around for at least 2 years to service the work or the service the project that you put together. So that's usually done if there's a city involved.
That's a good example of some of that invisible service industry work that happens all the time. And nobody knows really what's happening with any of that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Your Hollywood example, that's a great example.
Well, yeah, I was actually thinking more like the city, that how much the city does for this kind of stuff and all these projects that are happening all around and nobody even knows they even exist. And there's people working out doing stuff and you're like, oh, yeah, I guess somebody did have to go pick up the dead animal off the highway. Huh? Okay, it's not me.
All right, Phil. So insurance isn't always the most exciting topic. How do you help clients feel comfortable and confident when making these important decisions?
The talking duck.
Talking duck.
Always makes it better, right?
You start off with that introduction. So, no, that's.
You bring Augie in.
He kind of breaks the ice, I guess you could call it that. But I guess a lot of people think insurance is not a real exciting topic, but I've been doing this for almost 40 years in the industry in various parts of it. So, it was exciting to me because you get to interact with so many different people. We do interact with accountants and bankers and lawyers, doctors, and when there's bodily injury claims, physical therapists, the hospitals, we have contact with them if there's certain situations they need to know about how things are going to be covered. So there's a whole myriad of people that you get to interact with. And my background, like I said, was in public relations as far as a college major. So that was a good foundation for me because I learned in public relations, you usually get called in when things go really good and a company wants to tout it, or when things go really bad and you got to play damage control.
There's nothing in the middle.
No.
It's either great news or somebody fell off a roof and you're trying to like spin it or whatever.
Yeah. Make it look like it's not as bad as what everybody
thinks. Yeah, it was a training accident. Yeah.
So that's what, you know, made the transition to insurance pretty easy for me because I kind of had already been doing some of that stuff. When college, one of my favorite subjects was finance. Mm-hmm. So what all insurance is I call it, it's risk financing, basically. You try to determine what kind of risk someone wants to take, and then the risk that they don't want to take, you finance it for them. And
risk management, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And what kind of appetite do they have?
Exactly. That's a very important grade.
Make that movie with Robert Downey Jr. without a completion bond. Yeah.
So we work with that. We work closely with banks and those kind of institutions to make sure that insurance is set up before somebody can.
Oh, hi, everybody. Tune in to the Village Idiots podcast, please. Come to my clubhouse.
Why?
Spotify.
Mickey,
YouTube.
Are you having
Apple,
a stroke?
Apple Music.
Apple Podcasts, I think, yeah.
Mickey's different personalities are coming over.
Start a project or build a building, or sometimes start a business if they're borrowing a lot of money for capital projects or capital programs. So yeah, to me, it's real exciting because you're always dealing with different people and you're researching different topics and no 2 days are ever alike. We get pretty involved in claim situations and I tell people that's really when you learn the insurance industry, not through sales, you just sell something. But when you get involved in claims, you really get to know all the moving parts and you get to know a lot of different personalities. good and bad.
I bet.
Yeah, it must be concerning when there's a tornado coming through town. Because, yes, it affects you financially, but also you're going to have a whole bunch of very, very upset people to deal with that are dealing with the worst thing possibly that they'll ever have to deal with.
Yeah.
All at once. You got 50 people. They're dealing with their particular issue, but you're trying to manage a traumatic situation for a lot of people all at once. That seems like that would be challenging.
And everybody wants it taken care of right now.
Me first.
And sometimes that's a difficult thing to accomplish. So that's a good point, Greg. Yeah, the tornadoes that came through in 2019 were a pretty crazy time for us because we had a lot of, we you know, certainly do business here in Tip City in this area, but we have them scattered all over the place. So we got hit pretty hard with tornado issues and claims and all the things that go along with those kind of disasters.
So. Yeah, those tornadoes up at Indian Lake were pretty. There were whole parts of the town that were wiped out. I was driving through there. I can't imagine people dealing with all that and the financial repercussions of that.
Exactly.
Especially if you didn't have insurance.
Oh. I tell people, everybody has insurance. You either buy it from a third party, an insurance company, or you self-insure.
Yes. Yeah, there you go.
That's a good way to look at it.
Choose which avenue you want.
Your risk management.
Are there any common misconceptions that people have about insurance that you find yourself often clearing up for people?
Meredith, that's another good question, and I probably could do a couple of hours.
Meredith did the homework. She thought out some really good questions.
Yeah, so, there's a lot of misconceptions. So probably the one big misconception that we deal with every day is no two insurance policies, and they're a policy, but they're a contract. Mm. So no two contracts are alike.
Mm.
So we spend a lot of time trying to make people understand that just because you were with this carrier and you had this contract, that it's probably going to be different if you go to another carrier. It might be better, might be worse. It's all contracts. So no two are alike. People think that, well, just match what I've got. And it's like, well, we really can't match it because we don't have maybe that carrier that we represent. So we have to design it. And we spend a lot of time, like I've said, asking questions, trying to figure out your lifestyle, what your asset base is, what your goals are. So the last thing I want to see happen is people tend to buy more insurance than what they really need. So
that makes sense.
You pick their brain as far as saying, well, I don't know do you really want to cover that?
Yeah.
So don't waste your money buying insurance on things that you have very little risk. There's no need. Or maybe market value, it's probably a small market value item. So those are some of the no two insurance policies are alike, and no two companies are alike. So you got to find a company and an agency or whoever you want to work with that fits your comfort level and your personality.
Great advice there. I want to know, what made you choose Tip City as the home for your agency?
Because it's the best.
It is the best. It's
but
great.
You said you're from Dark County, right?
I am from Dark County.
Okay, so what brought you to Tip City, Ohio?
Yeah, that's great. When I was, another great question, when I was doing the commercial underwriting work, I had an agency here in Tip City that I worked with. Some people out there that are maybe a little on the older side, his name was Alvy Parsons. So some people, you guys probably don't know Alvy. He's a great guy. He was one of the agencies that I used to do underwriting work with. So I'd come into Tip City from Tip Elizabeth Road lots of times. And just, you'd kind of cross over the bridge and into a nice small community with a lot of pleasant personality and pleasant feelings, and I'm going, wow, this wouldn't be a bad place to live. So I lived in Columbus for a short time, then I was in Dayton, and I'm thinking I'd like to get up out of Dayton. So that's how I came to Tip City and haven't regretted it. I thought, okay, I'll stay a couple
it's a great little
five
town.
Years and I'll
we're
go
glad
somewhere.
To have you here.
Yeah, well, thanks. Well, I'm glad to be part of it.
It is nice. Yeah. So what inspired you to buy the old post office and then spend time and money making it historically accurate?
Oh, I tell anybody that asks, buying an old building like the post office, you think it's kind of an investment, but it's more of an adventure.
I love that. Yeah.
You never know what's going to go wrong and, how's it going to be fixed? Because we had a boiler system that we ran until about 3 years ago. So it became very hard to get people to come in and work on the boiler.
When did you purchase it?
In 2005.
Okay.
Yeah. And it took us about 6 months to get it ready. The inside of the post office, other than the front windows that you see when you come in, the back side of that was all one big room, like a big basketball court in there. So we sectioned off or partitioned offices and then kind of designed it for office space. We're fortunate. My wife is the one that came up with the idea to buy the post office. We were kind of looking around at different spaces.
Where were you before?
We were down above. Are you familiar with Tony's Bada Bing?
Yeah.
Right there on the corner.
Absolutely.
Across the street. At that time, it was a bookstore or an office supply store.
Office supply store. Upstairs there.
We were on the second floor. And we shared it with another party.
The paper was up there for a while.
Yeah, you're right. It was. So we shared that space, and we kind of outgrew that fairly quickly, fortunately. So we needed to go somewhere else. So we looked around and wasn't finding anything. And once I actually insured the post office building for the owner at the time. Mm. So they told me that they were going to be desiring to sell it. So I thought, whoa, I think you got a buyer.
You got first dibs.
Yeah, I kind of got the inside scoop on
that. There
you
go.
So we bought it. And the rest of that story, Lois woke up in the middle of the night and said, you know, we should buy the post office building. And I hadn't even thought about it. So I guess I'll give her the credit for that.
That's awesome.
It's a beautiful building.
Yeah.
It really is. So when was it the post office?
From 1938 to, I think, 1992.
92.
So, and what was it before you purchased it?
There was a music store in it.
Okay.
Right before us, though, it was called Dayton Art Glass. They made stained glass windows. So it was kind of more of a manufacturing facility, so it's kind of dusty and kind of dirty with lead and all that kind of stuff. So it spent 6 months cleaning it up and refurbishing it before we moved in. So
it's interesting you say that about the back room. Have you been to the big post office? You go in that back room, back area back there. It's literally just one giant room that's like a basketball court back there, because they need all that room with all those carts and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So it's You've neat. Been to the back room at the post office?
I have a special exclusive.
Oh, yes. Okay. I've never been there. You made it sound like it was a normal thing to go back.
Oh, yeah. It's completely normal. Yeah. Okay. It's totally cool.
I'll talk to Jason.
All the cool people.
Yeah, Jason.
Yeah, Jason will let you back there if you know the secret password. But yeah, I've been back there plenty of times. Okay. Yeah, it's no big deal, whatever. Yeah. But there's all these big giant carts and sorting areas and stuff like that, and it's all in one big room. Mm-hmm. So it's neat that you broke that up into different offices.
Mm-hmm. A couple things about the post office that a lot of people don't know about. We have a secret room.
Yes, I love the secret room.
You've seen it, Greg.
It is cool.
Where it's at. So it was where the post
Meredith office. Meredith hasn't seen it, but I've seen
to come
it.
Down. Yeah.
Wow, all these secret rooms.
Secret room.
The postal inspectors would go up there and locked themselves in, and it had little slots that they could look out over the big open room and make sure people weren't stealing.
They were spying on people.
Yeah.
Yes.
They did. Yeah.
When I got this space, my employees all said I should put my offices up there up top, because this used to be a manufacturing facility, and the boss would sit up there and keep an eye on everybody. I'm like, that makes me uncomfortable. I don't think I'll do that.
Certainly make your employees uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, that's why they don't come in here, because they don't want
that's
me staring
at them.
They're
never here.
Here. They don't want to work here because I'm here.
Yeah. I just miss out.
But it's a beautiful building. Thank you for taking that and restoring it and keeping it a thing, as opposed to a lot of places just tear stuff down. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. So, labor of love, like I said, an adventure.
How has your experience been like as a member of the Tip City Chamber of Commerce?
What can I say? But nothing but great. So yeah, it's been a great experience. I've been interacting with the chamber, since probably...
You started it, right?
Well, no.
28? 34? When did it start? I don't know when it started.
Probably back at that
time. It's been a while,
I joined later on. But it's probably been since 2000
that
I've been active with the chamber. So at one time I was president for a couple of years. So that was a great experience to interact with a lot of the other business owners.
And it's a great organization.
Brains. Yeah. So, and didn't one of your sons meet his wife at a chamber event?
No. Tell me this story.
Yeah, Kevin. My youngest said Kevin met his wife, Chelsea.
At
an after hours.
Oh my goodness, I didn't know that. That's
Shout
so
out
cool.
to the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, bringing people together. Literally bringing people together.
Should start a business, a matchmaking business.
There you go. The chamber app. Swipe left. Yeah. Swipe right. Swipe left.
So we have a very soft spot in our hearts for the chamber.
What was it open at breakfast or after hours for? Do you remember? I bet there's a story there.
Was it for Alvitro Orthodontist?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. Yeah,
Chelsea was like a dental assistant for Alvitro, and I don't know.
And Kevin was just there.
Kevin was just there doing his thing.
He got lucky.
Across the room. He saw.
That's it.
And she saw him, and lights sparkled. And
stars flew.
You hear sparkled. Sound, music. Yeah. Did they run across the room and into each other?
Were you there?
I was there. Yeah, I was there.
You were there.
I wasn't there at that particular
And you didn't notice. And you're like, oh. Later on, it was like, yeah.
I think it materialized, but that
we'll
was
have to bring them both on the podcast, get the full story.
And grill them. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that would be good.
That is a great article for the Gazette. Yeah. I love that. That's a great idea, actually. So, that's so cool. Yeah, bringing people together. The Tip City Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah.
Bringing people together.
What we do best.
Literally.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Tagline.
That's so good. I like that. So, but yeah, everybody who comes to town, that's the first thing I tell them is join the chamber.
Yeah.
Because that's really good. Where you're going to get, you're going to make a lot of really good professional contacts.
Mm-hmm.
And you walk in and you're like, oh, okay, now I know somebody to go get insurance from. And I don't have to go do the work. It's like, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a great networking mechanism.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. Thank goodness we have a good chamber and someone very, very talented and good running it.
Yeah. Well, Meredith's been running it since 84. When did you come to the chamber? 86? Whenever you started it.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. Back in the day. Yeah. Sure. Phil, how has the Tip City community supported your business over the years?
Oh, wow. We've been very, very fortunate to, you know, be part of Tip City. And, you know, I tell people that are thinking about starting businesses, certainly businesses that rely heavily on people. It's good to get involved in a lot of the community activities, whether it be the chamber, and we've got the Downtown Partnership, mm-hmm. They've got Kiwanis, they've got a lot of different. Anytime you can get involved and start to meet people and, you know, from more than just a face and a name perspective, it's good to be involved. So we've been fortunate. I, you know, certainly was part of the chamber and have been in other organizations, and I've met a lot of great people. So, and as you get older and older, you form deeper connections with those people. So you really get ingrained with the community. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and the concept of a network that you can rely on of people, you may not need somebody to work on your boiler today, but mm-hmm. you may need that 5 years from now, and you may not know who that is, but your friend may know mm-hmm. who that is. So yeah. It's good to have it's like a support structure yeah. around you, and that's an easy way to do it.
Yep. Yeah, and especially in a small town, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everybody knows somebody.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I got in trouble when I first moved to town because I was sitting at the coffee shop and I was sassing. Oh, I shouldn't have been sassing it. But I was from D.C., so I thought you could do that. And then I heard back around from that person that they were upset with me. And it turns out their sister was sitting at the table behind me at the coffee shop. And
that's a small town.
And then
you learn your lesson.
I learned a very valuable lesson about that. So now I don't do that.
Yeah.
But I do go to business after hours if I want to meet people.
Yes.
Girls. Yeah. I want to meet ladies. That's where you meet them,
yeah.
right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's...
Apparently. That's where you...
It worked for Kevin.
Yeah.
That's where you... It worked for Kevin.
A love connection.
That's right.
All right, Phil. What's one piece of advice you give someone starting a small business when it comes to insurance coverage?
Okay. Well, the first piece of advice that I give to anybody that's starting a business is make sure you love what you're doing.
Mm.
Because
absolutely.
You're going to be tested if you don't.
If you don't love it and feel called to it, you know.
It's going to be a really rough road to go, and you probably won't stick around long. So, but in regard to the insurance part of that question, you know, I tell people probably there's a couple people that are really key to getting your business off the ground. Number one, you better have a good accountant.
Mm-hmm.
So
good call.
You better kind of have an attorney that you feel comfortable with, and you better have an insurance agency or agent that you're comfortable with. I remember when my father was kind of an entrepreneur. He did a lot of different businesses. But the three people that I always remember he had closest connection with were his accountant, his lawyer, and the insurance guy that handled mm-hmm. all of his insurance needs. Because shame on you if you start out without it, because something bad happens. It's not good.
Well, I'm still doing all my own accounting. Should I stop that? Is that what you're saying?
Well,
I like the idea of having somebody else do the books. That's a great idea.
Are
I should
you
do
insured?
That. I am insured.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. And I do have attorney? I do have an attorney.
Yeah.
Okay.
An attorney.
But I like...
This is great. Yeah, we're really evaluating.
Thanks. Yeah, nothing like putting me on the spot. Thanks, Meredith. Yeah.
Well, you kind of brought it on yourself.
I did. It was my mistake right there. But I do enjoy finance. So I like, do I want somebody else like managing this or do I actually enjoy doing it?
It's tough to give up because if you like numbers, you like to see them interconnect
and I do like doing that.
Manipulate them if you can.
It's the good stuff. Yeah. But yeah, that those three things are really important to be able to do, outsource that kind of stuff to experts who know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't do your own insurance, hopefully.
No, you self-insure, but you pay a price for that.
That's a bad idea. I wouldn't do that.
And tell you, a lot of people ask me about insurance as well. I've never had a claim, so, you know, I pay all this money for insurance. Why should I be doing that? And I always tell people, you really use your insurance every day. You wouldn't probably be driving your car down the road
That's unless a good point.
You had insurance because heaven help you if you have an accident or a storm comes along and blows your roof off because you've been fortunate maybe not to have a claim, but tomorrow could be a whole different story. So I said, it's not that you didn't use it. You use it every day. You just haven't had to collect on it yet.
Right.
So, that's good advice.
So thanks.
It's protection against nature.
Yeah.
Whatever coming down the road people. You don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This question's kind of off that. Any tips for homeowners or business owners reviewing their policies? What should they look out for?
Kind of depends. It goes business to business or person to person. Number one, do a little self-evaluation to figure out, you know, how much risk do I want to take and how much do I want to pass on to an insurance company? So, you know, that's kind of my best advice, I guess. You really need to talk to somebody about those kind of things. A lot of people now, it's become popular to buy insurance online, but you really don't get much advice. And sometimes you might be buying something that you're insured. It's probably not going to be there when maybe you really need it. So,
or not to the extent you think it is.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
It looks good on your computer.
It's a piece of paper. I tell people, how much does your insurance policy cost? And they're scratching their head. And I said, it's probably cost you about maybe $5. It's what all goes in behind it. It's what you're paying for when you pay a premium.
So, yeah. And when you get in a car accident and you call the person and they're, and you're like, oh, they picked up. This is great. It's an actual person talking to me about me when my hands are shaking because I just got rear-ended or whatever, you know.
Hopefully a reassuring voice there.
Yes,
at the other
that will can walk you through the parts that they are involved in.
Yeah, definitely.
Trusted advisor, trusted partner. Mm-hmm. Any new insurance type things that are coming along lately? You and I had a conversation.
What are the trends?
Yeah, last year. Wow. Last year you were talking about car insurance, people insuring their EVs, and how it's a completely different type of insurance for your car versus a gas-powered car.
EV insurance certainly is more involved than regular combustion engine kind of cars. Yeah. EVs are a little bit more complicated.
Looking for the real stories behind your community? Tune into Newsmakers, the podcast that brings the Tippecanoe Gazette to life. Hosted by Greg Enslin, Newsmakers dives into exclusive interviews with local business owners, community leaders, and event organizers, giving you a front row seat to what's happening in Tip City, Ohio. Your community, your stories, your podcast. Newsmakers, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Because you got about 20, 25 batteries, you know, sitting on a chassis. So, and then all the technology that's gone into that car, it makes it very complicated to repair. Now, I tell people, you know, if you kind of study what's evolving with the newer cars now, they're slowly taking us to autonomous cars. There's more and more technology in the car, in the windshield. You got the backing cameras, you got the side cameras. They're testing it right now in the marketplace to see how people react to that, those sort of things. And the information I get, they're going to try to have autonomous cars on the road by 2030. So not very far away. And then what will happen, it will change the whole dynamics of auto insurance.
Yeah, I wonder how that'll work.
You won't be responsible as a driver anymore.
But it's still your physical vehicle. You're responsible for it if it goes nuts and starts running over things.
But the liability will fall on the manufacturers to make sure the car has sufficient safety in there to let it be, roadworthy, I guess.
Yeah.
So,
is it more expensive to insurance? I guess it's based on the purchase price, the EVs.
It is.
About the same?
Based on this type of car. Like I said, we used to see glass claims come in, and it might be $300 to repair an automobile windshield. Now it's probably closer to $2,500 to $3,000 because of the technology yeah, that they put in there. And also the glass has become part of the structure of the car and a lot of the more recent vehicles. So it's not only there for, you know, cosmetic purposes, but it's actually part of the car structure.
Yeah, so we were in London and we got a Uber. And I've never ridden in one before, but it was a Tesla. And it had the top of it, the whole top of the car was a window. And it just, I'm like, how does that work structurally? Because, like, it started right above the driver's, like, head. There's a bar. And then there was a bar behind us. And the curve of the glass was the entire roof of the car. I'm like, what happens if that thing rolls over? Does it, can it hold the whole weight of the entire car? Yeah, it's crazy.
It's been tested to withstand certain amount of impact.
That's crazy.
But, yeah, it changes the whole dynamics. And now we have smart houses that, you know, are coming into being where, you know, from your phone you can control when you turn your heat on, and, you know, water flows, and basically you run the house from a distant location if you want. So that's another big
change. I can control the heat on all my Airbnbs, so that's nice. I can turn the heat up and down. If they can't figure it out, I'm like, yeah, I'll take care of that for you. On the EVs down in Tesla at the Texas factory, they just started doing this last week where the cars come off the line, and there's the factory, and then there's like a facility on the other side of the highway where they like clean them all up and get them ready for shipping off. It drives itself out of the factory, nobody in it, and around across like the campus, and then parks itself in like these lanes where it's waiting. And then a person walks out and gets in the car and drives it inside. But it's, they're doing that now.
That's pretty wild.
By the hundreds. It's kind of crazy that there's like, and they show it, and there's like, no, there's nobody in it. What's it doing?
Yeah, how's it know to do that?
That's crazy.
Turn right or
things are changing. But yeah, that is going to be interesting how the insurance liability issues will change when you're no longer holding the wheel.
The other big is artificial intelligence. Insurance companies, the risk financiers, but they're all actually just big data collectors. So AI and what they do with information and how they disseminate it now with artificial intelligence, it's changing the business a lot.
So I bet, yes.
Underwriting, used to have people that would, underwriters are people that evaluate the risk. As a agent, you send it to the underwriter and they kind of evaluate it and maybe help price it. It might do away with that role in the future because you may be able to have AI technology do a lot of the underwriting. So you lose the human touch, which that's nice to have. It might be just more black and white, cut and dried kind of underwriting. So,
yeah, I've heard of some companies that are using it for negotiation. And in some cases, there's an AI negotiating on both sides. So the conversation goes really back and forth, and then they get right to the middle really quick. And it's not 80 emails back and forth. It's two robots. That's kind of weird, though, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Certainly takes the relation aspect out of the whole process.
It's weird. But things are changing. It's interesting.
Yeah.
All right, Phil. I want to learn more about you personally. Oh, so what do you enjoy doing when you're not talking about policies and premiums?
He likes to run around. I know you run around
a
lot.
I know. I was hoping he would talk about his running.
Are you running right now? We're doing this on the road.
We're doing it on
you're
the
running
run.
Along the car.
Yeah, Bill and I are running.
Oh, you're running too. And I'm in the car holding the microphone out
the
window.
You're in the Tesla.
I'm in a Tesla. That's a great idea.
So you could go a little faster than that. So, one of my big hobbies, you've touched on it, Meredith certainly knows. I enjoy running, so I like to run. We're blessed here in Tip City with great bike trails, so utilize those a lot.
And both your boys run, too.
Both of my sons, they run. Yep, they're runners, too. So
you're likely to see at least one of them running around here at some point today.
Much running. It's exhausting.
And I like to bike, too. So, again, back to the bike trails. And in the summertime, you know, all three of us were kind of kayakers, too. So you might see us on the rivers.
Yeah.
Certainly the Miami or the Stillwater kayaking down the river. So we enjoy doing that kind of stuff. So, you know, I'm a big fan of cognitive behavior reading. So how the brain works and how people make decisions and things like that. So I read a lot of books about that and about history. So those are some of my kind of hobbies.
History is interesting. We were just in London and we were at the Churchill War Rooms. Underground, where he like did the whole World War II thing, and it was just fascinating. History is fascinating, especially when you're physically there, and you're like, "This is where it happened." Do you do any marathons?
No, I don't have any scheduled, but I do have a race at the, in the middle of May. It's called Run the Bluegrass. It's down in Lexington, Kentucky.
Oh, cool.
So it's
How far is that?
It's a half marathon. Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
So I think about running.
Do you prep for that, or is that something you just mentally prep for, or are you out there running?
Well, you do some running before then. So it's kind of been tough here.
Treadmill, or are you out in the world?
I'm not a treadmiller, so you know I have one, but I use it sparingly. I like to be outside running. That makes
and right
more.
Now it's nice. Yeah. The last few weeks has been pretty nice.
Yeah.
Every once in a while it gets real cold for a day.
It does. Yeah.
I'm a fair weather runner though. If it's below 20 degrees, you won't see me out there. If it's above 20, then I'll venture out.
That is pretty cold.
Yeah, those kind of hobbies. Since we built the condominium on in the back of the post office, so we enjoy being downtown.
How long have you guys lived there?
Since 2018.
Okay.
So it's nice to be down there. You can participate in pick and choose the activities you want to be in, and it's handy to drive back.
What was it previous before you moved in? The space back there.
There wasn't anything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We built it. So.
You added that on.
On. I did not realize that.
So that was again one of the adventures. So.
Yeah, the adventures.
Was
that
insured?
The journey.
That was insured. Okay. Yeah, we insured that.
Do you have a completion bond on that?
I trusted the builder.
You trusted the builder.
Oh, you didn't get insurance?
His name is Phil Cox.
But I didn't make him do that.
There you go.
That's good. He did a great job. So
that's a nice space. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite local spot in Tip City that you like to visit or dine or shop?
That's a tough one to answer because, you know, I kind of like them all. In and out of
it's like picking a favorite child.
Yeah, it's true.
It is. The ice cream at Bodega is pretty good.
You know, and I don't know. I know a lot of the people that run the businesses, so to say one's better than the other.
We don't want to play favorites. I get it.
On the spot. They're all great. We're Tip City downtown, and in general, it's all run by very good people, very responsible, community oriented. So
it's fun seeing places come in, new places too, and see them kind of like find their footing. It's neat. And they're surrounded by a good business community, so it's easier for them to start a business here than in other places, I would think.
All right, well, where can people connect with you? What's the website, phone, email, best way to contact you?
So a couple of different ways. Our website is www.royalcrestagency.com.
/dairy.
No,
there's no dairy.
I
try to
leave that. It's funny because some of these, what I want to say, people that troll websites.
Yeah, they get.
They see the connection. Maybe this is a dairy. So I get solicitations. Do we want to, you know, have this milk delivery system set up or something like that?
I get that.
Well, we don't do that anymore.
We don't do that anymore. But yes, we will do that.
So, and our phone numbers, it's 937-667-9359. So, and if you call, I can guarantee you, you'll have a live voice at the other
end. A local human person who lives on the planet, an actual person. Yeah. And it was royalcrest.com, right?
Royalcrest.com.
Or royalcrestagency.com, yes, because I talked over that part. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
I was so excited about making my joke, and it really wasn't that funny.
Anything else you want to share with our listeners today?
Tell us about your staff. Who do you have there?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Let's run through the staff.
Yeah. Who do you have?
Okay.
No, put you on the spot.
He's got a superstar staff.
Oh yeah. Well, they're great. Well, first
he's
of
related
all,
to
he's
a lot
related.
Of
yeah, I was going
to
say most of them. He probably knows really well.
Yeah. It's funny when we had COVID and they were doing a lot of unemployment claim fraud. I don't know if anybody got impacted by that here.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes. I remember that was big during COVID.
Three times that, you know, I was solicited about my unemployment claim. And so I had to go around. Do you guys know something that I shouldn't know? Are you getting rid of me? Or
what? What's happening?
What's going on here? So, but no, from staff, I tell everybody, my boss is my wife. So, Lois kind of.
That's good.
Lois.
She's sitting up in that room.
The secret
watching
room.
Watching you
Sometimes
work.
I think she is.
And yelling at calling you. Yeah. Get back to work.
Yeah. What do you do? Okay.
That's I can see you. You're not working.
Yeah. So, Augie stays in my office lots of times. So, she's always giving me a hard time about, you know, me and Augie in there goofing off or something.
Yeah. Hanging out, doing nothing. Thinking about marathons, get back to work.
Yeah, that's true. And certainly my two sons, Brandon and Kevin. So the three of us do.
Do they each specialize in something different? What is that? How do you break
we're
that
We're the
down?
Commercial people, so we share on commercial risk. Everybody in the agency, we don't work on a commission agent compensation. Everything comes into the agency, so we everybody's on an hourly basis. So then that's how we split it up.
Yeah.
So that, and I do it that way because you don't have to worry about people trying to compete with each other internally.
Yeah.
It takes away a lot of teamwork and camaraderie.
Yeah,
so
that seems unpleasant. We're all fighting for commissions.
So everybody, I think it helps everybody get along. It works out well. Mm-hmm. So. My two sons, Brandon and Kevin, there. Kevin's wife, who we met at the after hours, Chelsea. We've got her in there now, so she does some of the administrative work and does work on a part-time basis. Kevin's mother-in-law also works with us, Maria. So
okay, wow.
She's in there. And
so when there's a family vacation, you guys just close the doors and there's nobody there. Is that what you're saying?
That's the interesting thing that we have to plan because it's difficult for us to all go on a family vacation. We can't really do that.
Yeah. Royal Crest Agency is going on a cruise. And here's the number to call for if you have a problem.
So, yeah, we have to plan, okay, are you going to take off this time or who's taking off when? Because it's virtually impossible for all of us to go on a family vacation.
That's funny.
Yeah, I bet.
So, and we try not to fly together. So if something happened on a flight, then there goes half the business.
Right there. Yeah, that's bad. You don't want that.
So you got to kind of be, you have to think about those kind of things. So,
and then hopefully you guys are insured.
We're all insured.
I would like to think so. Yes.
We make sure we're all insured and we're all co-inter beneficiaries on the policy.
There you go. Meredith's asked them the big question.
Yeah,
that's the most important question of the whole podcast.
The nitty gritty of our infrastructure.
There you go.
So, and then we have some other people, a gentleman named Ron Long. He does a lot of personal lines work for us, and Misty Elder and Jen Dizell. They're all other people that work in the agency, and we told them we adopted them, so they're in there. They're in there for life. So I think there's 9 of us in there now. We just had one lady just retire. We had 10, and we're looking to hire maybe 1 or 2 more people. So anybody out there looking for?
What kind of position is this?
We'd train them to be an advisor.
Okay.
So
is it full-time?
It would be full-time. But we could work with somebody on a part-time basis if we had some regular hours that they're willing to commit
well,
to.
Put it out to the public.
Yeah.
Breaking news.
Anyone's looking for a job.
We would definitely like to talk to them.
Breaking news.
We guarantee them no 2 days. I tell people, once you get into the insurance business, there's chances of you leaving it are nil. Because everybody we've ever brought in and trained and stuff, they might have either retired or maybe went on to another position as an adjuster or something like that with insurance company. So once they're in, you kind of find out it's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. So
no 2 days are the same. You were going to start. You started to say that.
Yeah, no 2 days are the same.
That's exciting.
That.
I could see it being really challenging. Every day is different.
You get to talk to a lot of interesting personalities.
It's kind of like the newspaper. Every week it starts over.
Yeah, that's
from
probably
scratch
true.
With a blank slate. It's kind of odd.
Yeah. Well, that's probably the fun about being in media, though. You're always meeting new people
and making stuff up. Yeah, figuring out new things. You're like, well, let's try this. Let's try that.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, on your side, it seems like it would be important to kind of stay on the cutting edge and keeping track of what's coming.
Yeah, basically, all insurance is probably one of the keys to the infrastructure of a country.
Yeah, civilization, really.
Because you're financing everything in order for progress to go forward. You need to figure out how to finance it. So insurance.
Yeah, and it's a safety net. Keep everybody kind of like protected.
Mm-hmm. I tell people when you look at African countries and things like that, insurance is a foreign word to them because they don't have any infrastructure, a lot of them, unfortunately. So they don't need insurance. But if you're going to build an infrastructure, you got to have something to financially back the unexpected things that happen.
Well, awesome. Thanks so much for joining us,
Meredith,
Phil.
Thank you,
appreciate
Greg.
You coming on the podcast.
Yeah, it's my
pleasure. Thanks for joining us. This is good. Yeah. I had a lot of good questions. You had a lot of good questions, Meredith.
Yeah.
You did the work. I like it when she does the work. She does the prep and comes up with all these questions I wouldn't even think about asking. I'm like, that's great. Yeah. That's great. And she does not give me the questions ahead of time.
Oh, she does?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
It's more exciting.
It's good.
It's good. Yeah. It's surprising. But that's why I asked her if she was going to ask about that one thing, because I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's good because I can be spontaneous and then she can be the professional. It works out great.
It balances well.
It does.
When Meredith told me it was going to be her and you asking me questions, I'm going, I kind of feel comfortable with Meredith, but that Greg.
Oh,
maybe
he's a.
I don't know.
He's going to be too spontaneous.
He's a piece of work.
He can really be Interesting.
Oh, interesting. Oh, thanks. That's a nice way to put it. Yeah.
You do a great job.
He's something.
Thank you for
right.
the paper.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Yeah. All right. Well, tell us your contact info again one more time.
Okay. RoyalCrestAgency.com is the website. Mm-hmm. And 937-667-9359 is the phone number.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you for coming
thank
on
you
the show.
Yeah, thanks so
thanks
much,
for
Phil.
Sharing
it.
Your journey. Thank
my
you for
journey.
Sharing your journey.
My life journey. Thank
that's
yes.
good. I like that. And Meredith, thanks for setting this whole thing up.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Look at you.
Thanks for having us, Greg.
Oh, no problem. No problem. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to the Newsmakers Podcast, sponsored by the Tippecanoe Gazette. And we will talk soon.